As a soldier, he defended our nation. As a pastor, he brought God's light into a dark world. Now he's defending our values and declaring truth across the airwaves. Speaking truth in love, here's the unapologetic Christian, Stephen Solomon.
Glad to have you with us here. This second hour of the show begins now. The number is 651-289-4499. I'm Stephen Solomon. This is the Stephen Solomon Show. Another hour is looking you right in the eyes, ready to roll. We've been spending today talking about Christianity. We spent the first hour detailing things, going over this concept that's coming out now called Christian privilege. And we discussed at the end of the program some examples of Christians actually being on the opposite end of that, actually being pushed around by government. Now I want to make it a bit international, and to help us do that, we're going to bring in our guest, Raymond Ibrahim. Now, I'm very excited about this because there's a lot of great information that Raymond's going to bring to the table. He's the author of a couple books that you're going to be able to pick up at Amazon if you want to do that. If you haven't been able to get over to his website, you can do that now at RaymondIbrahim.com. Got a couple great books, some great articles over there. Raymond, welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you.
Glad to be with you, man. Listen, I have been just perusing through your stuff here. I love what you've got going on. RaymondIbrahim.com. Ibrahim is not spelled Abraham. It's Ibrahim, Ibrahim.com. Raymond, before we get into a conversation about Christians being persecuted around the world, give us some information about your books that you've written.
Yeah, my two books, one which is very germane to the topic at hand, it's called Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. It's about a 300-page book with 50 pages of footnotes, heavily documented, where I really go over the doctrines, the history of the persecution of Christians, and then, of course, segue primarily into the modern era and show the immense continuity of what's been going on in the past and in the present. My first book is The Al-Qaeda Reader, and for that one, I basically translated all these hitherto unknown Arabic treatises written by Al-Qaeda, which really gave a different portrait of them from the one that was being portrayed in the media. Mm. I did that one in 2007. My new book coming out in the summer, which is the one I'm probably most excited about because it's the one nearest and dearest to my interests, which is history, the military history between Islam and the Christian Western world.
It's
called Sword and Scimitar. Sword and Scimitar, 14 centuries of war between Islam and the West. And it's a military history. And so really I go through, and people will be surprised that if you've heard the idea that Crusades are the origins of all problems and the wonders of Andalusia, I think this book is going to be a real eye-opener at what really went on in the past.
This is fascinating to me. I served in the military. I've been in Iraq and Afghanistan, all over the Middle East. I've been up and down Israel and in Jordan and just all over that whole area. I've got to see it firsthand. And to me, it's fascinating when you begin applying history to the modern situations. I just can't wait to read this book. It's gonna be so good. I know it is.
Thank you. And that's exactly what I see a lot of military history, but when you look at military history, most of it is really academic. You're not going to learn anything about Rome and Carthage fighting. It's interesting. But what's really opening and important and didactic about this history that I wrote is you're going to find out what's going on right now with ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all this sort of thing is just a mirror reflection of 14 centuries of jihad on Europe.
So why has that mentality persisted?
I'm sorry?
Why has that mentality persisted? I mean, we're talking about a 14th century mentality here in the year 2018. Where did they drop the ball? Why aren't they with us?
It's persistent because it's an epistemology, a worldview that's grounded on Islamic teachings in the Quran and the so-called Hadith, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. And all these sources, which really make up the Islamic worldview, create a dichotomy, which is non-Muslim bad guy, Muslims good, Muslims must wage war, and that's of course what the book's about. Now, most people don't realize that in the 7th century, when Christianity had been around for 600 years, if you looked at the whole territory of Christendom, the Christian world, when Islam went on the jihad and came into being and really started attacking Christian territories right around 634 AD, they ended up in less than 100 years conquering more than almost three quarters of Christian territory. And so today, you know, when we talk about the West, people don't understand that the West, which is northwest to Europe, is really the northern westmost portion of Christendom that just did not get conquered, but the majority did. And in the 7th century, the heart of the Christian world was not, of course, in Europe. It was in Egypt and in Syria, Anatolia, or modern-day Turkey, Greece, and all these, and all of North Africa. You know, Augustine, he's from Carthage, basically in Algeria today. So that's what happened on the teachings of jihad. And that's and they went on, of course, I'm just telling about the first century, but then they go on in different manifestations, the Ottoman Turks, the Seljuk Turks, conquering into Eastern Europe and so forth, taking the Balkans, Spain, etc., Battle of Tours. So this sort of thing is why it's still happening today, because it was based on an Islamic worldview, Islamic teaching that's validated in the Quran, which is understood as the words of Allah, and, of course, the words of Muhammad as well. And it's what all the caliphs did. And so you have a fair amount of Muslims who still see and think that way because they define themselves as Muslims.
You know what's interesting to me, Raymond? The North African area, the Middle East as we recognize it today as well, that was around 20% Muslim, 20% Christian, and now we're looking at less than 5% being Christian. I mean, it is it is dwindling to the point where it's almost hard to find Christians in those areas. And a lot of that is due to Muslims driving them out.
Right. And what's interesting to me is what you said is all true, but it's ultimately a continuation of that 14 centuries that I've been telling you about. Because in the if you went into the year 640 and you went into Egypt or Syria or all of North Africa, it was virtually entirely Christian. We're talking 90, 95%. And so what you're when you say, for example, in the 1900s, there were still 20%. Well, how did it go from 95% to 20%? It went that way from what we're seeing today. So what you're seeing today, the sort of persecution, which is broader from 20 to 5 or whatever the number may be, is just a continuation of the same thing that brought it from 90, 95 to 20 over the course of several centuries.
Well, one of the things we say a lot is, you know, when we talk about persecution in the West, in America, it is nothing compared to the persecution of Christians suffering under radical extremist Muslims all over the Middle East and Africa. I mean, those Christians really know what it's like to suffer.
Oh, yeah. You know, and just to show you how it is, what you said is absolutely true. I mean, you know, I mean, the war on Christmas is not like the war for your head. Well, I'll chop it off. You know?
That's right.
I get that. But, you know, to show you just how sad and how topsy-turvy this situation is, a new Rasmussen poll came out, I think, a few weeks ago, and it showed that more Democrats believe that Muslims in America are being persecuted than Christians are being persecuted in the Islamic world.
Mm.
Okay, and you know, you put that in the context of reports that come out annually, like from Open Doors, and it really ranks the 50 worst nations where Christians are being killed. Habitually, 40 of the 50 are Muslim nations. And the top 10 absolute worst, where you're just caught as a Christian, could be killed immediately, raped, or thrown in jail by the authorities. 8 of them are Islamic. But when you look at the persecution, quote unquote, of Muslims in America, it comes out to something like 120 simple assaults, which if you look up that word, means it's not even a physical assault. We don't even know what it was. Maybe it's harassment. And yet,
a microaggression.
But we live in a world where a majority of Democrats actually think those Muslims are suffering more than what's happening to Christians. And these are people who vote policies in. And so I'm just showing you how warped so much thinking in the West is. And this is the sort of thinking that votes people and policies in.
Well, CNN, for instance, and you referenced Open Doors, they did that survey. And, you know, the whole idea of Christians being persecuted is foreign to us because we don't live there. And we go, no, that's not really happening. We imagine what's happening in the United States. But that CNN study showed it, that Christian persecution reached a record high in 2015.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, a lot of people in the West, and I think this is general to humans in general, they end up projecting their own worldview, their own cultural standards, their own way of thinking. And so the idea that there are people in large numbers who will kill you because you don't believe what they believe is very alien to a lot of Western thinking, to the Western mentality. That's why it's very hard to fathom that's happening. But the idea that there's racism and, you know, minorities are suffering from mean right wingers in America. Well, that's very prevalent. And so you can see how that paradigm makes it so that people are really suffering, being killed. The Open Doors actually cited, it said 250 million Christians around the world are being persecuted, okay, and in ways worse than any of the Muslims in the United States, 215 million. And like I said, about 80% of that is in the Muslim world.
Wow.
And yet, you know, it's just not, people don't comprehend it, or a lot of them don't.
What's fascinating to me, and by the way, we're speaking with Raymond Ibrahim. You can learn more about him at RaymondIbrahim.com. What's fascinating to me, Raymond, is in America, we don't look alike. There are people that look, you got blacks and whites, people who are brown and yellow. You got people from different language groups. You got people from different educational backgrounds. I mean, our nation, we don't all believe the same religion. We don't all have the same value set. And yet, by and large, we're not killing each other. Just by and large, we're existing. Now, I know there are isolated examples, of course, but as a rule, we don't look or come from the same backgrounds, and yet we're existing. What's interesting is that over in the Middle East, these people all look the same. Many of them come from the same background. They have the same race. They have the same nationality. There's no political disputes. And yet the only thing that divides many of these people is the fact that some are Christian and some are not. And that's where the argument comes in.
And that just, you know, highlights just how divergent, let's say, Western civilization is from Islam. And to really, you know, understand why that is, you have to understand Western civilization, which, you know, I mean, I don't know any other civilization that's named after a location or a geography. Western civilization didn't come out of a vacuum. It came out of Christianity. It came out of Christian mores. And Christianity, based on so many different, you know, verses, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, lots of pacifism, turning the other cheek, and so forth, is fundamentally what led to this sort of culture where it doesn't matter what race you are, what you look like, or what you believe, I'm not going to kill you.
Right.
Okay, but that's not what Islam...
It's not Christ-like.
No, of course not. It's the opposite. You believe what I believe, or either I kill you, or I subjugate you, and you become what's known as a dhimmi and pay jizya, and you're like a third-class citizen, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And that's why, as you say, you know, you look at Egypt, you look in Afghanistan, you look in Africa, Muslims are slaughtering Christians in horrific ways, and yet these people are identical to them. They're the same race, ethnicity, they have the same names, speak same language, dialect, culture. What is the one sole factor that's creating all this animosity? Well, Islam.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break here. We're speaking with Raymond Ibrahim. He's got a couple books that you really need to pick up. Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, came out in 2013. And then a new book is coming out, Sword and the Scimitar. It's 14 centuries of war between Islam and the West. Stay with us, folks. We're going to take a quick break on the Triple S. Coming right back. More to come. 651-289-4499. That's the number. Stay with us.